Nuclear energy is also getting a new interest here in Canada. There are projects proposed in a number of provinces. Joe McBrearty is president and CEO of Canadian Nuclear Laboratories. Joe, good morning to you.
Morning, Matt. Thanks very much for having me this morning.
As you understand it, how much interest is there in nuclear energy in this country right now?
Well, there's a significant amount. There was a poll just done by Angus Reid which showed nearly 60% of those polled support having a nuclear reactor in their province or nuclear power in their province. This is an increase as time has gone on. We see this as a very positive movement. You know, listening to your earlier question, I do believe that we are seeing a renaissance in the nuclear industry, and it is driven by the need to combat climate change and the need for energy security, not only here in Canada, but throughout the rest of the globe.
Tell me more about that and why you think this is happening right now. How much of this is tied to the climate crisis?
So I think the vast majority of it, at least early on, certainly before last February, was tied to climate. When we look at the necessary power that has to be generated to decarbonize our grid and to decarbonize our power systems, all told, we're looking at probably a doubling of the amount of electricity that has to be produced or heat that has to be produced. So when you look at that, when you take coal-fired plants, oil-fired plants, or gas-fired plants off the grid, the drastic need for other sources, renewables, and we look at nuclear as a clean source, are really the sources that we're going to have to fill that.
Why do you look at nuclear as a clean source?
So it is does not emit carbon. It is clean burning. It does not have the same issue that the fossil fuels have. And we actually, in the nuclear world, we actually understand where our byproducts and our waste are. We've been doing this for decades. We have a very stringent, safe, reliable method to look at our waste products.
You just don't really know what you just don't know really where the waste product is going to go, right?
With fossil fuels, you don't.
No. With nuclear, I mean, this is something that the waste lives for you know thousands and thousands of years. That you have to figure out where to put that.
Yes, and that is a very good point. However, the industry has studied, planned, and is actually storing waste very successfully for the last few decades. And in the future, most countries, and we look at Sweden and Finland kind of leading the way here, and Canada is very much on the same path of building what we call a deep geological repository, which is about 800 meters beneath the surface, which would provide a very safe repository for the time frame that you're talking about.
You're in Chalk River, Ontario, which is, I think many Canadians would understand, where one of the world's first serious nuclear reactor accidents occurred twice back in the 1950s. That seems like a long time ago, and yet that kind of thing looms large in people's memory and in the discussions around nuclear power. What do you say, just briefly, to those who are worried about future nuclear accidents?
So I would say the one to start with, that was over 70 years ago. We have learned an awful lot of lessons. The design, the construction, the operation of the plants, the CANDU plants today, has been remarkable. The safety record is really cannot be matched when we look at the plants that exist in Canada and outside of Canada from a CANDU perspective. But also in other light water, we call them light water, which is, you know, pressurized water or boiling water reactors around the world. When you look at the tens of millions of operating hours of these reactor plants, they are safe. The folks who operate them are highly trained, highly competent. They are continuously overseen by strong regulators throughout the world. And the confidence that not only the industry, the regulator, but also the general public have in our ability to operate these plants is really, really high. One thing I would mention, though, as we go into the next generation of nuclear power,
right,
in these things called small modular reactors or micro reactors, these plants are actually really designed to be even safer. When you look at them, they are designed to be inherently passively safe. So if something happens, the reactor can be left alone. It will not need any ancillary cooling equipment or support equipment, as you've seen in Fukushima, maybe.
Let me come back to the small modular reactor in just a moment. I want to bring another voice into our discussion. Susan O'Donnell, member of the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development in New Brunswick, adjunct professor in the Environment and Society Program at St. Thomas University. She's in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Susan, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show, Matt.
Joe mentioned the Angus Reid Institute polling. 57% of those polled in this country want an expansion of nuclear power in Canada. That's up from 51% just 18 months ago. In New Brunswick, in your province, two-thirds of those polled support this. What does that tell you?
What that tells me is that the nuclear industry is selling a product that has several well-known problems, right? The new reactors take a very long time to build. They're almost never built on schedule. The electricity is going to be more expensive than the alternatives. They produce deadly radioactive waste that, as Mr. McBrearty admitted, doesn't have a long-term solution. So what this is telling me is that the industry is in an intensive sales campaign, and they're promoting misinformation to break down public resistance to nuclear power. And how they're doing it is they're flipping around all these well-known problems. In New Brunswick, we're in an intensive promotional campaign. Mm. And the message is the new ones are not like the old ones. You know, Mr. McBrearty mentioned CANDUs. Nobody is talking about building more CANDUs. If they were so successful, why aren't they building more CANDUs? Because they weren't. So they're saying, oh, well, we've got new ones. The new ones will be smaller. They're going to be safer. We can build them more quickly. They'll be cheaper to build. The electricity will be less expensive. And so what the Angus Reid survey says to me is that the industry's promotional campaign is making headway, and that concerns me.
In the face of a climate crisis where electrification is front of mind for many people, whether it's vehicles, heating, what have you, should we not be looking at every possible option to try to figure out how to get away from fossil fuels and electrify that grid?
Absolutely. Let's look at them all and compare them one to the other. And nuclear will not pass the test when you actually look at them objectively compared to one another. Your previous guest mentioned the situation in Europe. In Canada, fortunately, we have the resources for alternatives. We have lots of natural alternatives that we can use. And in fact, there have been research. The David Suzuki Foundation put out a report several months ago showing that we can meet all of the needs, electricity needs in Canada with renewable power. We don't need nuclear here, so why would we want to take those risks?
Joe, why would we want to take those risks? Can those other forms of electricity generation meet the needs that we have, not just now, but the needs that we will have in decades to come, do you believe?
Well, Matt, thanks very much. I think I would disagree with Susan's assessment that renewables can meet all of our needs going into the future. The studies that we have seen and are fact-based show that the renewables will certainly increase in their percentage of the electricity grid or the electricity supply. However, nuclear power is very much in the mix and will continue to be in the mix, and it is a necessary base load energy source which Canadians have used for years, will continue to use. And I would also correct one of the comments that Ms. O'Donnell made. You know, we have been very successful with CANDU reactor plants, and I would expect that we will see the government looking at the expansion of CANDU reactor plants going into the future.
What you're talking about, though, is those small modular reactors. They don't exist yet, right? I mean, they have yet to be actually developed.
Actually, that is not a true statement.
Are there small modular reactors that are actually in use right now?
There are probably over 100 small modular reactors in use today. They may not be what you would consider sitting at the corner store. Most are on naval vessels that are underway as we speak throughout the world, run by Western countries.
And so have they been used yet to generate power on land?
No. But the concepts of power generation are absolutely the same. The physics is the same. Hmm. Those types of reactors as the ones that we're looking at for commercial electricity production or heat production.
Susan, ultimately, what is your opposition to this about? What's at the heart of your opposition?
I just have to correct something, because I don't know if Mr. McBearty is being genuinely or deliberately disingenuous. The nuclear reactors on naval submarines are entirely different from what we're talking about now. If they actually would work in a civilian context and not a military context, we would have had them by now. The issue is, there's a couple of things. They're built for propulsion. They're not built for the same reason. And also, they use a kind of fuel that's called highly enriched fuel. It's military grade. It's weapons grade. It's over 90% enriched in many of those nuclear reactors. We could never use that in civilians. We can't use more than 20% because of the risk of nuclear weapons proliferation. Of course, it's easier to build a small reactor with that high concentration of uranium in a reactor. The problem is to try and make that work in a civilian reactor where you have to use much lower enrichment of the fuel. Mm. Mr. McBearty knows that, so we're not talking about the same thing at all. If we were to build those same reactors all over Canada, we'd need to have a military installation next to each of them just to guard the fuel. So it's not the same thing at all.
We're almost out of time, so I'll just ask you both very, very briefly. Susan, do you believe that in some ways this is inevitable, given the public support, but also the energy crisis that much of the world is facing, that there will be more nuclear power in our world?
I hope that I would see that I will live. I was born at the beginning of the nuclear age, and I hope that I will see to see the end of it, because we don't need it now. We've got the alternative technology, and we can build them out. So let's just do it.
And Joe, you believe that there is a renaissance underway when it comes to this form of power generation?
Absolutely, and it's necessary.
We'll leave it there, but we will talk certainly more about this in days and weeks and months ahead. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Joe McBearty is the president and CEO of Canadian Nuclear Laboratories. Susan O'Donnell, member of the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development in New Brunswick. Your CBC.